Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. If my life was a TV show, this is how it would start. I would hear my alarm go off, push the snooze button, hear it again. Finally force myself to get out of bed. Stumble into the bathroom, brush my teeth with my eyes closed. Make some coffee, and then go into my closet. Then the camera from this TV show would pan to a bright digital clock, and it would read 3:22 a.m.
In the dark in my closet at 3:22 a.m., what is this life that I'm living?
Sometimes I sing to myself before I start recording narration for this podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
For 8 months, I've been living a double life because last year, someone gave me a job offer.
You know, and I think that's why we really would love to have you on the team, that we think that you have that spirit too. You know, like you seem to just get it.
And I took it. I would be starting my first job as a professional producer at a public radio station.
A little before work cuddle sesh.
On the weekdays, I would no longer be sleeping in with my boyfriend Ben. Instead, I would be leaving the house early and spending 8 hours of my day somewhere else.
All right, I love you.
Me too.
Have a good day.
Have fun.
I will. I'll see you. Going to work.
When I took this full-time job, I promised myself that even though I would be working on other radio shows 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, with a one-hour commute there and a one-hour commute back, I wouldn't stop making Millennial.
It is 10:30 at night. I released an episode of Millennial. And I'm just tired.
But after 8 months of making this show at nights, in the early mornings, and on the weekends, all of this work is taking a toll on me.
This could be the last wave of this feeling.
I'm getting burnt out. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about what no one teaches you. How to maneuver your 20s captured in real time. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, I suggest you pause and start at episode 1. If you do, you'll understand why this decision I'm about to make is a hard one. After 1 year of sending out resumes and preparing for interviews, I finally land a full-time job as a public radio producer. This is the dream. Or so I thought. In order to do well at this job, I have to quit making this podcast. Now I'm having second thoughts about my career and what I want it to look like.
It's on Philbrook Road toward Whipple Road, then turn right onto Whipple Road.
Going to work with all the other fishes.
Ever since I was little, I've been taught to plug into a system. These are the rules. Get good grades to go to the best college. Do well in college to get the best internships. Have the best internships to get the best job. But after I graduated college, I was kicked out of the system. It was like I was in the middle of the ocean. I didn't know where I was or where I was going. And the rules that I had depended on were starting to dissolve around me.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
When I walk into the doors of my new job in public radio, I'm stepping back into a place where there's structure, deadlines, teacher-like bosses, a salary, and health insurance. It feels safe, secure, and familiar.
Morning.
There's so many
treats.
What I like about this system is it has a community built into it.
Whoa. So good.
These are the best things ever.
Yay.
In the mornings, my coworkers and I circle up around coffee and donuts and talk about the weird things we've read or seen recently.
Yeah.
That's like the.
It's so true.
But it is. Like,
yeah.
When I graduated from college, I made a list of qualities that I wanted in an ideal job. The first thing on that list was always to work with nice, friendly people who enjoy what they do. I got lucky.
And then as I've been thinking about this and sort of developing it, I think there are two pitches.
As projects progressed, I became someone my coworkers could trust. And over time, I became less wary about what I was going to say or do, and I learned to be myself.
What do you think the log line is for this one? Like a one sentence description.
Can it be two sentences?
Sure, yeah.
But I wasn't my whole self.
Hello. Oh. So how was your day? That was good.
For me, the work never stops. After having dinner with Ben, I always end our conversations like this.
I have a lot of work to do, too. I haven't really worked on the upcoming episode at all. I don't really know how I'm going to approach that.
Which is where we are at the beginning of this episode. I've set an alarm to get 3 hours of sleep, and then I wake myself up and start recording narration for the next episode of Millennial.
Hello, hello, hello. Okay, I just want to tell you if this is...
I'm just tired.
Resentment towards Millennial comes in subtle doses. It sneaks up on me when I've spent 15 hours hunched over my computer and I start developing a sharp pain in my leg. Google tells me it's sciatica. Or when Ben asks me what movie I want to watch tonight and I say, I can't, I'm working on the podcast. Or when I finally have a free Friday, but I don't go out because I haven't made any new friends in the town that we moved to 6 months ago. And at these moments, I whisper to myself,
this is what it takes. This is what it takes to make it work.
But it takes a toll, not only on my brain and body, but also on my relationship with Ben. Because of my millennial podcast / full-time job double life, we don't have date nights like we used to. We rarely go on hikes and we don't go to the movies. When we are physically together after I get home from work, I'm usually working on an episode of Millennial. I didn't think my work life would affect our romantic one, but it does.
I clean the house. I go and buy groceries. Why is your work more important and I have to then go around and clean up after you?
I'm not asking you to clean up after me. I just don't understand why it's always the dishes.
Because you aren't doing the dishes.
What if I'm running out the door? What happens then?
Then they get left for me to do.
I guess I feel like I'm just going to have you in the back of my head like a parent. You know, oh, I have to do my dishes so that Ben doesn't get upset at me.
No, it's being respectful to your partner, who you're actually valuing that other person's time, you're not just leaving a mess for them to clean up because you're saying that their time isn't as valuable as your time.
I know our arguments about the dishes are never really about the dishes.
Why do you think we're getting in more arguments than usual?
I don't know.
Do you want to talk about it?
After Ben says, not really, I walk away from him and I head back toward my computer to start editing another episode of Millennial.
I'm getting white hairs. I'm getting back pains. I don't know what it's like to come home from work and not think about work.
I can't keep living like this. I have to quit one of these jobs. Millennial wasn't supposed to become a full-time job. I made it so I could get a job in public radio, and I have that job. So if I have to quit one of the two, it's obvious it'd have to be the podcast.
How are you doing?
I am well.
This is embarrassing, but every time I release an episode of Millennial, I call up my mom.
Did you launch it?
I did launch it. I launched the episode. It's kind of like embarrassing.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this one.
But when I work on it, it doesn't feel like work.
Oh, my nerves are still going. I just released the podcast. I'm so excited that it's over and that I have to release more.
And it may sound corny, but every single time I release an episode, it makes my stomach churn and my nerves freak out, but also makes me feel like I'm living on the edge of my seat and I'm writing my own rules. I like my job, but it never gives me that feeling. And it's hard to convince myself to give those feelings up or to give up Millennial. Someone else who understands these feelings is Ben. He's the type of person who dreams big. For the past 4 years, he's owned his own company and he's been his own boss.
If I leave this job and I go off on my own,
there's lots of options. So you could quit without having another job. You could work for yourself, pursue Millennial full-time. You could support yourself with Millennial full-time and freelance. You could do Millennial full-time. Let's just keep going, like things you could do. You could do Millennial full-time and be like, I'm just going to go travel. If we both end up working for ourselves, we have a freedom that a lot of people don't have. We don't have any responsibilities. We rent. We don't own anything.
No kids.
No kids. No nothing. Just projects. And we're fine with pooping in the woods and sleeping on the floor.
Does that sound like your dream?
Maybe. Yeah. I think that's something we share.
That's true. Pooping in the woods, man. I do like pooping in the woods.
Yeah, that's not me. I'm not talking about me. You like to poop in the woods more than I do. You're weird like that.
Don't worry, he's talking about camping. Not like on a day-to-day basis.
That's true.
Like we could just pack up and leave. Like that's the thing.
And go where?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, literally because of the nature of that work, you could be anywhere. So like you could open up your mind, you know, I mean, like you could do anything.
Even though I'm laughing and I'm really excited about the things that Ben is talking about, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, leaving your job to pursue a passion project as a full-time gig is such a millennial thing to do. Was I just being a millennial and impulsive, I want to be my own boss, I don't need to be in the system, millennial? If I asked Crystal, my older sister, this, she would say yes.
It doesn't sound like you're ever content with your career. I have a job. I go to work every day. Because I need to, not because I necessarily want to, you know, and I'm fine with it. Like, a job is a job. You're going to have your ups and downs.
I feel like I have a reason to be hesitant because somebody is going to be taking 8 hours of your day that you could be investing in yourself.
Yeah, but haven't you been looking for this type of job? And that is an investment in yourself?
I have been looking for this type of job.
The 8-hour day with benefits and experience.
And she's right. I have worked really hard to get this job, and it's not a bad job. But if someone came to me and said, do you want to work for a company or do you want to work for yourself? I think it would be hard to say I want to work for a company. But maybe I have to. Or maybe I should.
In my head, there's a magic number of a minimum of a year to stay with somebody who's hired you for various reasons.
This is Randy. She's a family friend. And when I asked her about my situation, she reminded me that there's this unwritten rule about staying at a place for at least a year. I don't really get this rule, but she broke it down for me.
One is that they have invested in you. They've also turned away other people. And that they've trained you. And so honoring that process to stay a year.
I never thought about it like that.
And one of my concerns for you was, how will people see you? Are you going to get a reputation for not being reliable? Are you, people think that you're flaky?
Mm-hmm. If I quit this job, it's not like quitting a restaurant job. It's like there's going to be a permanent stamp on my resume that says, first industry job ever, only stayed less than a year. The subtext will make future employers question my work ethic, loyalty, dependability, and they may not hire me because of it. I'm not looking to be Peter Pan and escape from the all-staff meetings, the mass emails, the office gossip and politics, or the organizational hierarchy and rules. I want to be an adult. I really do. So maybe I should stay. Maybe I should stay and show people that I'm not an impulsive, self-absorbed millennial. So I do. For 3 months, if I had any thoughts about quitting my job, I tried to push them out of my mind. But the thought was always there, nagging at me. One day, as I'm filling up on free coffee at my work's cafeteria, I noticed that there's a sign on the coffee box that says, "Be your own boss of taste, energy, and happiness." I know it's just coffee, but it feels like the universe is saying something to me. Should I be my own boss?
So what in your mind's eye, you're saying you're doing two jobs, you're not doing them as well as you could if you only did one.
Yes. Yep.
Of course, I have to ask this guy, Chuck Severance, Ben's father. You may have heard him on previous episodes.
I feel like I'm not doing a good enough job at the work where I work because I can't. My heart isn't in it, you know?
Yes.
My heart belongs to something else. And I also can't spend as much time doing millennial because I don't have the time.
Yes. Are you confident that right now millennial will earn you a living?
I need to still... Does Ben want to chime in?
Imagine if a rival radio company came to Megan and said, "Hey, your job is great. We want to hire you, and we want to give you $10,000 more with possible pay increases that are exponential over this year, and we want to give you complete creative control, and we possibly want to have you work less."
And you'd be on like a bastard.
Yeah.
Anybody would.
And you're saying that that's what's happening.
She's being poached by millennial. That's what's happening.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Should I bail? Right?
It's easy for Chuck to say he'd leave. He's been an entrepreneur most of his life. And it's even easy for Ben to say, because he's owned his own company for years. But it's not easy for me.
I think in this case, you're scared to leave because you're scared that millennial is not going to be as great as you think it is because you have that fear of failure. That's just my take, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whenever we actually go after what we want, that doubt will always be there.
That's my friend Michelle, and she's right. I'm scared. It's not about being afraid to look like a stereotypical millennial, or even about letting down my bosses. I'm afraid of taking this risk. A few more weeks go by and I'm still at my job. As I'm running through the pros versus the cons in my head, something unexpected happens while I'm at work. Oh my gosh. On Twitter, I get tagged in a post with a link that says, "The 50 top podcast episodes of 2015 by The Atlantic." I click it. And it says that out of 300,000 podcasts that exist in the world and 50 podcast episodes that are worth considering, Millennial, My Millennial, has been ranked at number 14. When I first saw this on Twitter, I wanted to stand up in my desk and jump up and down like a five-year-old and call the whole day off and go out and celebrate. But what actually happens is I don't do that. I stare at my computer screen, look around, and then keep working because it's my job. A few weeks after the Atlantic article, we have an all-staff meeting at work. At these all-staff meetings, the president of the station stands up and recognizes the achievements of people on staff. She says, so-and-so just received this news reporting award. Everyone claps. Or blankety-blank just had one of their stories broadcasted on this popular radio show. And while I'm sitting in the back, I find myself wondering if the president is all of a sudden going to call out my name and say, Megan Tan's podcast was just ranked at number 14 on the Atlantic's top 50 podcast episodes in the whole world. But she doesn't. That never happens. My name is never called. As the meeting comes to a close and I head back to my desk, I think to myself, what am I doing here? A few weeks later, I'm on a bus with Ben headed to New York City. After the Atlantic article came out, emails upon emails upon emails started appearing in my inbox, including this one where I was asked to give a presentation at a podcasting workshop at Union Docks in Brooklyn. As I'm sitting on this bus, I look out the window and I think about the last 7 months. I think about what has happened in a short period of time during this double life spell. If I had quit Millennial when I started this job, the piece in The Atlantic would have never been written. This opportunity to speak at a podcasting workshop would have never appeared, and the idea of me becoming my own boss would have never been a possibility. All of a sudden, I feel this sense of urgency boil up in my chest. People won't be talking about Millennial forever. This may be the only time for me to take this leap. And if I don't take it, will I regret it for the rest of my life? While I'm in New York City, I decide to visit a friend of mine. His name is Tanner. I've always admired Tanner. We met in college, and after he graduated, he was able to prove himself in his industry and now works as a full-time staff photo editor at the major publication in New York City. He's around my age, and I thought if anyone could give me feedback on this decision, it would be him.
Oh, hey.
Hell of a time to visit.
When he sits down with Ben and I during his lunch break, I just jump into it.
Okay, so I came to New York just to do like this Union Docks thing, and the more I've talked to people, the more I am just like, I want to do Millennial full time, you know, and just like see if it works. So the new thing is that when we're on the bus, Ben is going to help me strategize how I'm going to bring it to my boss that I'm going to quit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like 7 months or something, right? Well, I mean, I don't know. I quit my first job after 5 months.
Yeah?
I was miserable. I mean, I think part of it's just like we're realizing more quickly and being more comfortable with making decisions about like when to make a change when something's not like in line with what you want to do.
And maybe it all fails. Like, maybe it all fails, but like,
I don't know. There's always that risk, but it's like, I don't know. The energy from that risk should like propel you forward to like keep it, you know, keep all the balls in the air, and like, I don't know, I think it's exciting. I think it'd be really, really cool.
Yeah. So now I'm just like telling everybody this is what I'm doing, so I do it. It's true. Yeah.
Ben's at the table too. When I look at him, he looks at me with eyes of doubt. He's heard all of these words come out of my mouth before, months ago. When Tanner leaves to go back to work, Ben turns to me.
Talk to your sister, and your mind changed back. You were on the cusp of ending your job.
And he basically asks, how is this time going to be any different?
I mean, I don't know. I think I can do it. Yeah.
Good, do it.
After we come home from New York City, the next day I hop in my car and I go to work.
It is quite possible that this day is going to be different than any other day. Oh, we will see. I'm like so excited and so nervous, but like excited, but mostly nervous. Like, I have to do this. This is what it's like to grow up, huh? Making decisions. And, like, nobody is there to catch you.
That day, I walk over to my boss's desk and I ask her if we can catch up and touch base. But what I really mean is, can we be in a place where it's just you and I so I can tell you that I'm leaving? She says, of course. A couple of hours later, she comes over to my desk and says that she's free right now, if I have the time. I kind of stop breathing, and I say, sure. As I'm fumbling together all of the notes and scripts that I've written out over the past 3 days, I realize that I don't have time to practice my speech. As we walk into another room, my hands are trembling, and I start to get hot. I can feel the knot in my stomach rising to my throat. This is it. There's no turning back now. And then I quit. I quit my job, and surprisingly, my boss was extremely supportive. At the end of our conversation, we even hugged. A job that took me a year to earn was over in 10 minutes. I'm choosing to opt out of comfort, structure, annual Christmas parties, possible mentors, and I'm saying goodbye to being a traditional adult. After work, the gravity of all of this hits me. I just quit my job, and I'm on my own. To process all of this, I'm sitting in the car with my friend Tasha.
Like I said, like, it's not gonna be easy, you know? Like, I'm pretty scared shitless.
It's, like, such okay stuff. It's weird how we can get all dark and scared about, like, risks are good. I remember my mythology teacher, one day on the board, what he had written was, love is based on risk. Like, you can't have love without risk. So, like, whatever your passion is, to follow it, like, it's going to take big risks. But, like, you're padded by that love that's going to catch you, you know?
Yeah.
It's my last day of work, and after my boss and coworkers take me out to lunch, we drive around the block, and they sing Adele to me.
Never mind, someone like you. Sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts and burns, but sometimes it hurts instead.
When I come home from my last day of work, Ben has made a surprise sign on our door that reads, "Welcome to the rest of your life." As I open up the door, I'm finally stepping into my life. Ever since I was little, I've been taught to plug into the system and to follow these rules. Get good grades to go to the best college. Check. Do well in college to get the best internships. Check. Have the best internships to get you the best job. When I finally reached the dream, I realized my definition of it had changed. What the rules don't tell you is that there's a trap door where timing and opportunities come together, and if you sense them, you'll wiggle out of the system and find a lot of freedom. Making Millennial was an accident that has turned into a job that I made for myself. And at this job, I am responsible for everything, but the opportunities are endless. Here, no one is telling me what I can't do. And I think if I would have been that good, polite millennial who stayed at my job for a year, the trapdoor would have disappeared and I would still be in the cafeteria, wondering what could have happened if I had taken that leap. Luckily, I'm not. I've taken a risk that is padded by love, and if all of this fails, hopefully it'll catch me. Editing help for this episode was provided by Ben Severance. The voices you heard in the episode were Randy Cohen, Tanner Curtis, Natasha Haverty, Maureen McMurray, Michelle No, Taylor Quimby, Crystal Sherwood, Chuck Severance, and Susan Tan. Before we give you scenes from the next episode of Millennial, we would also like to thank our sponsor, Squarespace. Squarespace, share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial. 2 L's, 2 N's at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. To keep tabs on the next episode of Millennial, follow us on Twitter at HearMillennial, H-E-A-R Millennial, or on Facebook. And if you want to send the show a shout out, rate us on iTunes. Also, if you have story pitches, I'm all ears. Just send an email to stories@millennialpodcast.org. Now, back to the show. Next up on Millennial, after I leave my full-time job, I find myself alone. It's not always fun. So I start looking to build a team.
So how much are you looking for?
Like, if I had to dream big, like, I'm looking for a soulmate. But who do you choose and how do you choose them? That's on the next episode. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.